right. Well, I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 10. We're going in part two of a sermon that I started, I don't know, like 3 weeks ago now, of You Heard Me. That's right. You Heard Me is the name of the sermon. And we're talking about our faith and the effects of our faith and how we can have a life of faith. And so the question that we kind of been seeking, trying to answer is, how did Paul say that one obtains faith? How does a person get faith? Do you go to the grocery store and ask the clerk and say, hey, what aisle can I find faith in? Faith isn't a brand. It's not something you can go to the grocery store and get. It's not something you can buy. It's not something even you can just give away. Faith is something that comes and comes alone by hearing the Word of God. Amen. And so we've been talking about that and how that a humble heart and open ears produce faith that calms your fears. So many things in life that could put us ill at ease, sicknesses, illnesses, loss of life and family members and loved ones, loss of jobs, all different kinds of situations can bring about fear in our lives. But if we live a life of faith, even when those fearful things come, we don't have to live afraid. We can live with boldness and with confidence. And so we'll be talking about all that. And what we'll do here is, let's see, Romans chapter 10. Let's turn our attention to verse number 12. And if you would, please stand for the reading of God's Word and read verses 12 through 17 here. Just by way of recap and get us all plugged in here on the same page. Verse number 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I'm very thankful for that verse right there. Because without that verse right there, I could easily try to convince myself I've been too wicked. There's no way that God would save someone like me. But you know what? Praise to God. Praise God's name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse number 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. This is my go-to verse for proving once and for all that I have beautiful feet. Amen. Amen. That verse number 16 here. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So may God bless the reading of his word as you're seated. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. One of the things we talked about a few weeks ago is how faith, like I mentioned a second ago too, is you can't go to the store and buy it. You can't walk up to somebody and say, hey, I could use some faith. Do you have any to spare? Faith doesn't work that way. Faith is personal. Faith is something that you have to get yourself. The question that we even considered as well was, would you agree with the statement that you can only ride the coattails of your parents' faith for so long? Actually, that was the part of my answer. This was the quote. In matters of faith, every generation has to begin again. In matters of faith, every generation has to begin again. As much as I want to, I cannot force my children to take my faith. No one can do that. They have to develop their own faith. And sure, for a while, they will, in a sense, ride on my coattails because they're learning. They're learning what they need to have faith in. They're learning what this whole faith thing is all about. And for a while, they're going to be kind of leaning on me pretty heavily to show them and to teach them from the Bible what a life of faith looks like and why they need to have a life of faith. But there's going to come a day when they will be expected to make the decision for themselves. Do they actually believe? Do they actually have their own faith? Because, you know, when we stand before the Lord and we're given an account for our lives, you know, it doesn't matter if our parents were really religious and spiritual. It doesn't matter if our great-grandpappy was a Baptist preacher. Well, all that matters is the choice that you made. Did you or did you not choose faith? And so faith, is kind of where we left off, is the Christian way of life. If you were to describe a Christian and say, how does a Christian live? Well, that's simple. A Christian lives by faith and nothing else. Turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 3. We've got a handful of Bible verses. We're going to move around a little bit tonight. But Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 11. The Bible says, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. Question, who are the just? Who are those being described as just? Well, the answer is those who have been justified in God's eyes. In other words, saved people, those who have been born again. If you are saved, it is just as if I've never sinned. Justified. This portion of Scripture is dealing with the fact that we are not, nor can we be saved by the law. Amen. It doesn't matter how good of a person you are. Like, well, I follow all the laws. I don't go around killing people. I don't go around stealing and taking things that don't belong to me. I don't go around beating people up and lying and giving false witness and things of this nature. And I'm just talking about like human law. I'm not even talking about spiritual things right now. Like, I'm a good person. I'll do all those things. Well, you know, there's this little sign that you pass pretty frequently on the road. And it says something on there. It's got like some, it's got a number and then two words with it. Speed limit. Do you ever go over the speed limit? Well, never. Careful, Brother Lauren, we're in church tonight. We all, no matter how hard we try, we all have gone over the speed limit, even if not on purpose. You're trying the hardest to follow the speed limit, and you set the cruise control even. You think you're on point, but you don't know your speedometer's off. And so you think you're going 35, but you're really going 36. You lawbreaker, you. It doesn't matter how good or much of the law you try to follow, you will never be able to follow it perfectly. And so I thank the Lord that it's not my adherence to the law that determines whether or not I have a home in heaven. It's whether I have faith. Faith in God and faith in Jesus Christ alone for my salvation. If we could be saved by the law, then the Bible would say, it wouldn't say the just are saved by faith. It would say that, live by faith. It would say the just shall live by the law. Ooh, no thank you. I try to follow the law, but I'm not perfect. None of us are. And so we need to live a life of faith. Our life needs to be characterized by faith because we're not saved by the law. And because we are, it says the just shall live by faith. And again, if you're saved, if you're born again, you are just, you're justified, then that means God expects you to live a life by faith, to live a life of faith. Romans chapter 14, verse 23, let's turn there. Romans chapter 14 and verse 23. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We're expected to live by faith, because whatever is not lived by faith, the Bible says it's sin. God is serious about his people being set apart. There needs to be a distinction between a Christian and a non-Christian, an unbeliever, someone of the world. There needs to be a very distinct and obvious difference. For if no other reason, why in the world would someone who doesn't know Christ want to come and have a relationship with Christ if there was no difference between the two? There needs to be a separation there. The difference is that the life that you live, it needs to be lived by faith and not by sight. Man, if you're living by faith and not by sight, you're going to do some things that in the world's eyes are going to seem crazy. Like, for example, what's the poverty limit? Is it like $25,000 or something like that? Let's just say it's $25,000. Let's say you make $25,000 a year. That's all your income. You live in Washington State, which has a very high cost of living. A life of faith will say, you know what? I make peanuts. In fact, I don't make peanuts. That's too many. I make a peanut. I don't make any kind of money. I'm convinced that Scripture tells me that I need to tithe. And so I'm going to give 10% to God because that's what the Scriptures teach. The world's going to look at that saying, are you crazy? You don't even have enough money to go buy groceries or new clothes. You have to rely on hand-me-downs. Why in the world are you just throwing your money away when you can keep it, spend it on yourself, or if they're feeling really savvy, invest it into your retirement, into your future, let it build, compound interest. That's the way to make money in this world. That's living by sight, but by faith, you're like, know what? No, I'm giving it to the Lord because that's what the Bible tells me to do. God is going to bless that. I can share numerous stories from my own life, from other there's many of you here can share testimonies of how just being faithful, not only in tithing, but other areas. Many of you here can share testimonies of how being faithful to whatever it was God has told you to do, and Scriptures have clearly taught how that God has blessed it. It didn't matter if in the world's eyes it seemed like the craziest thing in the world to do. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. Because we need to live a life that is characterized by faith and not by sight. Faith is the Christian way of life. And if you are a Christian who is not living by faith, you will not experience the peace and joy that comes from the life being completely and wholly submitted to God. You'll be uneasy. You always kind of have that feeling in your stomach like, man, I just feel like I'm missing something. Well, you're missing the joy and peace of the Lord because you're choosing to not live by faith. Instead of living by faith, you'll be living in fear. Maybe it's fear of not being accepted by others. Fear of not being good enough for someone. Maybe it's the fear of failing. Doesn't really matter what it is, it's fear. God did not save you to continue to live in fear. Let's look at 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Let's get there myself. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. If you have fear in your life, I can tell you this, it's not from God. Humble our hearts, open our ears, and that will produce faith to calm your fear. So not only should we live a life that's characterized by faith, having faith will also do something that's really important for every Christian, in that faith will protect you. Will protect you from what? Well, if you didn't know, there's a spiritual war going on out there. If you're a Christian, it's not like Satan, before you get saved, he's trying to fight you and say, no, don't get saved, and do whatever he can to keep you from getting saved. And when you get saved, it's like, oh, great. Satan's like, man, he's a Christian now. I guess I can't touch him. Guess I'll leave him alone. Oh, wouldn't that be nice? No, if anything, it puts a bigger target on your back. And so faith will protect you, not if, but when Satan attacks. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16 says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." You know, I love that word, all. Because it means, you see, you really have to dig into the Greek to understand what that word all really means. You see, what Paul was saying here by the word all, what he really means is all. I know, that's very deep. That's very profound. But when you look at it in this verse here, it says that the shield of faith will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. In other words, no matter what Satan throws your way, if you are living by faith, you have a shield that will protect you from every single attack that Satan throws at you. When you start living for God, like I said, it's not a matter of if, but when Satan attacks. And when he does, it's going to be your faith that is put to the test. Because what you're going to have to do is you're going to be standing there, you're going to see all those fiery darts coming your way, and you're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to turn tail and run and find some cover somewhere and try not to get hit? Or am I going to trust this shield that God gave me, and am I going to withstand the fiery darts as they come? And when those fiery darts come, you will feel them. Has anyone ever, you know, held a shield, whether it's a real shield or just a piece of wood and playing and all this? What happens when something hits it? Thump. You feel it. It may even push you back a little bit if it's a big enough force. So those fiery darts of Satan, here's your shield of faith. And sometimes, it may be a whole bunch all at one time. But the point is, you got to have faith that that shield will hold up. The shield of faith is the only thing that can protect you from the fiery darts of Satan. So what are some things that will test your faith? Well, do you really believe this? Do you actually truly believe that God created everything in just 6 literal days? I mean, come on, really? Science clearly proves otherwise. I mean, just look at the geological structure of all these rocks. Look at the carbon dating on these fossils, they're millions of years old. There's no way a 6-day creation ever really happened. Evolution's the answer. Well, if you're not living by faith, you might actually start to believe something like that. What about this one? What is gender anyway? Male? Female? Come on. You're so old-fashioned. Open your mind up a little bit. What about all those who are non-binary? What about all those who don't identify as a male or a female? What about the one government document that I saw, 58 recognized genders? This is what happens when you don't have faith. What about this? Love. Love. It doesn't just have to be between a man and a woman, right? I mean, I could love another man. It's real. I feel it in my heart. Faith will clearly tell you that this is not right. If it's true love, then it's okay, right? No. If you do not have a sturdy shield of faith, then chances are you will end up like many other worldly Christians who end up buying into the deceptions of the devil. It's sad to say that there are many, many professing believers out there. I'm not going to go and try to speculate on their actual soul state. That's not That's not my business. But there are, what I'm trying to say, there are many professing Christians, people who say they are born again and know and love the Lord, that have no problem whatsoever with the whole gender thing, with the whole LGBT whatever agenda. Evolution. There's so many issues that clearly fly in the face of clear biblical teaching that they've put down their shield of faith. They've let a few darts hit them. And now they're wounded. And they're not as effective as they should be in their fight for the Lord. But in addition to your faith, God has something else that's available to you if you're saved. Turn with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. If you are saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within you. You are not a slave to sin any longer. In other words, you have an escape path. When temptation comes, no longer are you like, ugh, I'm a slave to sin. I don't have a choice. I have to do this. When the Holy Spirit comes, you just whoosh, cut those bonds. You are free, and you now have that choice. It's like, wait a minute. I don't have to do this anymore. I'm not going to do that. And you can go the other way and follow the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You are able to do that with the Holy Spirit's assistance. Because temptations will come that will seem overwhelming. How in the world am I going to deal with this temptation? And I have no choice but to give into it. It's so strong of a pull in my life. It's my besetting sin. There's no way I can overcome that temptation. Stop. Right there. Just stop and pray. And don't stop praying until that temptation is gone. Open your Bible up and see what God has to say about whatever temptation it is that you're facing. Because God has spoken on every possible subject that you could ever possibly be tempted with and has given us everything we need to live a life that is victorious. That song. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. There's the answer. You want victory over sin? You want victory over temptation? How's your faith? Get faith. 1 John 5:4. It's in the Bible. That's the faith is the victory verse. Trust me. Faith works. Let's look at James chapter 2. James chapter 2 and verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Look at verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And look over at verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So, like I said, trust me, faith works, as in pick up a shovel and start digging. That kind of work. Remember what the word hearing means. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, but those that hear, does that just mean you hear what I'm saying? Like, okay, I heard you say that, but that's about it? Or is it deeper than that? Is hearing actually talking about a mental cognitive understanding of the words that were said? I understood the message, and I can now apply the message. That is the biblical concept of hearing. Actually, it's spiritual understanding with receptivity. So in other words, it's listening and obeying God. If we are being faithful to the Christian life, then good works are going to be a very natural byproduct. It's not something you have to put on a show for, oh, great, I'm a Christian, so I better go help an old lady cross the street. I'm a Christian now, so I better, not say bad words. Well, no. Good works will be a natural byproduct of a life of faith, because when you're living by faith, you're like, praise the Lord. This is great. I'm going to go help an old lady cross the street today. I feel so good. Good works will be a natural byproduct of a life that has been transformed. For example, if I robbed a bank and stole millions and millions of dollars, there's a pretty good chance that I'd be driving a nice car and living in a nice house. In other words, you cannot have your life transformed without there being evidence of it. If I just had a big windfall of cash come into my life, well, there would probably be evidence of that. Nice things. If you have had the Holy Spirit of God move into your life, there ought to be evidence of that. And the evidence is good works. Good works in themselves do not save. But a person who is saved will do good works. Another way that faith works is in the exercise of it. So just like when you exercise a muscle, what happens? It develops. It grows. And so if I want to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'm going to lift weights and do lots of exercises for 24 hours a day, 365 days a year for the next 20 years, and I might look like him. It takes work and effort. And faith is just like a muscle. When I moved to Oklahoma to follow God's leading and attend Bible college, that was a move of faith. I will tell you that much. I was working for Phillips 66 up in Ferndale at the time, making just about six figures, and I moved to Oklahoma. I did not have a job lined up. I didn't even have a house lined up. My oldest child, Brinley, was only 6 months at the time, but I knew God was telling me to go at that time. I didn't have all the facts lined up. I didn't know how God was going to make it work, but I went. I show up there, and I was like, all right, I got to make at least $800 a week in order to just pay the rent on the house I found when I showed up and buy some food. Well, lo and behold, God provided a job, an odd job, digging storm shelters, making, guess what, $800 a week. And I did that for about 4 weeks before I was able to get hired onto a company making more than $800 a week. And that whole process was a step of faith and God working in a miraculous way. In other words, God takes care of his people when they step out in faith. Faith was never designed to sit stagnant and atrophy through disuse. We are to live by faith. So, there you have it. Faith in a nutshell. If you didn't get the chance to listen to the first half of this message, it'll probably make a lot more sense, this being part two. But you're invited to go back on the website and take a look at it there to get kind of caught up on the part you may have missed out on. But faith and a life of faith is only possible by spiritually discerning and obeying God's word. If you want to have faith, you got to live the Bible. We try and fail to go through life in our own strength. We can't. Life is too big for these frail bodies. You got to have faith. And God has already provided a successful path, and that path is through his strength and through his word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, tell me, who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? You listening to the world? Listening to your own thoughts, your own opinions and your feelings? Or are you listening to God? Are you reading God's word and actually listening and applying what you're reading? My challenge for you tonight is this: to prayerfully commit to hearing from God on a daily basis. And remember, hearing, that's not just reading. That's not just understanding, but it's also doing. So my challenge for you tonight, for the rest of your life is to hear God's word on a daily basis. Don't fall into the trap of letting it become a habit or routine. It's easy to do, but don't let that happen. But let it become a time that you look forward to, and a time that you long for if you miss it. I can tell you numerous times where I've fallen out of the you can call it the habit, fallen out of the habit of daily Bible reading. But when that happens, there's a longing like, I miss it. I got to get back into it. That's the feeling it needs to be, not just checking off boxes of a daily reading plan. That's vain effort. It's got to be real. Grow your faith and then claim your victory. Let's do this. Let's have a moment where everybody can have a chance to respond if you like. Musicians, if y'all want to come up and play an invitation song, that would be perfect at this time. How's your faith? Who are you listening to? You're welcome to respond to the altar there in your seat. But consider those questions. If God's speaking to you, now's the time to respond. If you all would go ahead and stand, we'll have a time of invitation.